Merci pour votre achat de bottes en cuir fabriqué en Espagne. Vous verrez comment elle est extrêmement heureuse. Que les Espagnols ont beaucoup de chaussures de qualité. Ils sont beaucoup plus beaux en vrai que sur la photo. Il sera également fait de la peau du pied. Lui donner ce dont a le plus besoin de soins.
To Naked Girls Radio, and it's me, Sandra London. You're about to listen to my hot audio erotica. This story is an erotic short called The Sweetest Death. Enjoy.
Boy.
The clutch, the thrust, your cock, my bust. Ooh, shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. Ooh, gimme, gimme, gimme. Your lust. The throttle, the glide, you want to slip and slide. Ooh, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And side, real high, you ride. My lust.
I want you.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Dame. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, March 31st, 2014, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of LivingGrind.com, broadcasting for you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California in connection with Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and Naked Girls Radio. The songs you just heard at the top of the hour were J'ai acheté mes bottes en Espagne, I bought my boots in Spain, from the artist Muziakchek, and Roots and Leaves from E-Cube. And in between that, you heard Sweetest Death, one of my short-form erotic poems. This evening, I'll be having an interview with Kim Butler of Berlin. She's actually from California, but she's been living in Europe for the past few years. And I've met her, in a sense, online via Twitter quite a while ago, and I've always been meaning to have her on my show, so I'm very happy to be able to interview her this evening, and I hope you all will enjoy our discussion. You're free to call in 858-815-2333, once again 858-815-2333, and we'll start that interview a bit earlier than I start most interviews because as she is in Europe, it is a nine-hour difference, so it is very, very early in the morning for her, so I don't want her to have to wait, like, forever for the interview to get started, so we shall do that very soon. I'm going to make sure all the sound and everything is fine, because I'm actually broadcasting right now via Skype, which I have not done since, like, 2012, like, one or two episodes, so make sure everything's cool, and then we shall start the interview. Her website is blackgirlinberlin.com, and I will be interviewing her very shortly. So in the meanwhile, check out this next song. I will do... how about... I will do Rebel Hero by New Nobility, and I'll be right back with you.
Everybody else
And we're back. So I'm giving a call now to, hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can kind of hear you. It's a little bit,
Hello?
Yeah. Are you able to hear me? Hello?
Yeah, let me take you off. Is this better?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. So much better. Yes. Yes. Okay. So,
hello?
Yeah. So, for everyone tuning in, I'm interviewing.
I don't know what could be. Let me see if I can
Okay. Yeah, it sounded really good like a second ago. Let's see.
I'm sorry?
It sounded really good a second ago. Let's see how it goes on, I guess. But yes, for everyone that is not familiar with your website, please
go ahead.
Please describe your website to everyone who has not had a chance yet to check it out, blackgirlinberlin.com. Hello? Oh, no. Hello? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to call her back in a second and see if we can work out the sound issues. Soon. But in the meanwhile, check out this next song real fast. Check out Kafka. Shush. Check out Kinsas by Beethoven Yaris, and I'll be right back with you. Again, you're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I am attempting to get Kim of blackgirlinberlin.com back on to the show. So I believe she's attempting to call in right now. She's going to try a little bit longer and see what's going on. Pardon, excusez-moi, everyone. Okay, hold on. Let's see. Okay.
Okay, is this a little better?
Yes, it's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just my job has two levels, and I was downstairs, so I think that's why.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm very happy that it's all seems to work out just fine. I can hear you very well. So please explain for everyone a bit about your site, blackgirlinberlin.com. And yeah, let everybody know like what made you want to create a site and how you've liked it so far.
Well, I created the website when I first moved to Berlin just as a way to continue on what was the ending of my adult industry career. And people were just really curious about the whole experience. So I figured, well, I had a blog then, so let me just change it to Black Girl in Berlin. And it really worked out at first, you know, writing it, and I just wanted to come up with something catchy and to describe the experience, because a lot of my friends and family were just completely baffled that I would even want to leave the United States to come to Germany.
Really? Okay, so was going to Germany, was that the first time you had ever, like, traveled abroad, or had you done, like, shorter trips to Europe or anywhere else, or...?
I had done... Well, the first time I came to Berlin was in 2010 with my friends, and then I had also been to different places in Central America as well. That's where I mostly liked to travel because it was warm and it was dollar-friendly. So I went to... So like Jamaica and Grand Cayman and Mexico and Belize and Bahamas and... all those different places, and I'm forgetting. It's been about 20 countries total now before I decided to move to Berlin full-time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So then did you have, like, I guess once you decided to go, did you tell your family, like, oh, I'm just going to go for just a little while, or, like, I don't know if or when I'll be back? Is there kind of like a plan, a set duration, or were you like, I'll just be back when... I don't know, some other time.
Well, no, they had already had previously met my ex-boyfriend, the person that I moved out here for, so they had known that, okay, this is supposed to be permanent, and, you know, she'll visit maybe once a year, twice a year, but it was really just something that they thought would be rather permanent for me.
Okay. And so in the meanwhile, since you've had the site, have you made a few return trips for like holidays or things like that? Because I know from the beginning of where I was able to see the beginning of your site, it started out with how different holiday seasons were are in Germany as far as what to expect for Christmas dinner. Like instead of some massive feast, there being largely beer and then cold cuts or cold meat kind of thing, like... You're like, okay, next Christmas I'm going home for Christmas. Or
yeah, I figured I would be, well, I've only been back one time since I've been here. It was totally, completely different experience, and I thought that I would be making the same money. I didn't know that Berlin was kind of a depressed place, even though they have this tech boom here. The salaries are just really different from Los Angeles, so... You know, traveling back takes a lot more effort.
I wouldn't even really expect that in a way, just because I know Germany has one of the most, like, one of the strongest financial, I don't know, fiscal strength, I guess. That doesn't make sense. But whatever, it's, like, very strong economically as far as European countries.
Definitely.
Like, that it seems, like, daunting then that, like, IT professionals or, like, you know, academics or just techie types that they don't really... make substantially like a very good amount of regular dough or what? Like
that's definitely true. But just out in Berlin itself, it's just the wages are just much lower. I went to Hamburg and I was offered a job there and it was almost double my salary. So I just think it's the cost of living and just the cost of, but everything else is lower. So the apartments are much cheaper and you have a much different type of vibe here than you would have, let's say, in Munich or Hamburg or Cologne or something like that. So it's definitely, I didn't know that. So that was a surprise.
Huh. Okay. All right. And so I guess before you started to do Black Girl in Berlin, with your blog before, was it primarily adult industry oriented and like that was the main thing, or was it more like comprehensive of like more about?
Yeah, It was kind of both. It was just like, okay, my thoughts on working, and then, oh, I'm in this city, or, oh, I'm going to do this shoot and this and that, but this is what happened. Or, you know, I try not to go too much into it, because if people read the wrong thing, then, you're not, of course, you're not going to be working with them anymore. So I try to keep it really light.
Right. Okay. And so with who's now your ex-boyfriend, you met him while you're in Berlin for the Venus. Was it Venus Sex Show? Like, is that something that's similar to, like, AVN, this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Awards?
It's like AVN on steroids. It's just, it's a whole other experience when you're coming from AVN to Venus, because first they allow nudity. And, yeah, I had met him just kind of walking around on my off time. And, yeah, he just started talking to me.
And were you nude at the time? or was everyone around you, was it like, were there set performers that were nude, or was it kind of like a, because I remember just a few weeks ago I was reading something, and so like the nudist movement, and there's a lot that like started with both France and Germany of like interest in just plain being nude all the time in certain areas or like campsites, that they like encourage everyone like come to our show and like nude preferably, or was it like a, if you just feel like,
well, no,
it.
Definitely people walking around. I mean, people walking around in t-shirts and jeans, or some people with their outfits, but nobody was, none of the patrons were nude. Just the shows they would have would be nude, or goodness, some of the girls were sometimes nude. I mean, they just didn't have a problem if a girl, you know, took her top off or something like that. But mostly the worker and girls, I don't think I ever saw any of the patrons get nude. But you do see interesting things, like people wanting to get whipped in their S&M section. That was pretty interesting that they were doing that for real in their S&M booth. I was like, okay. But I mean, I learned it there.
You're like, oh, that's going to leave a bruise right there. That's like a
yeah. The guy was having red stripes on his back. It was really like, okay. But I mean, I've been to been more extreme than that. Like the one in Slovenia is much more extreme. They'll have sex on stage.
Oh, why not? I know that. Okay, I guess for everyone that's tuning in that hasn't had much experience with Europe, just I guess know that things are different. I guess there, because I know that in. Well, I can speak largely for France or Paris, that there are a lot of, like, just regular live sex demonstration-type theaters, and it's just very, there's no protests about it. There's no, oh, my gosh, it just is there in a way, and there's red light districts and this and that. Like, as far as for Germany, I've heard of, like, FKKs, but I've never been there, and for anybody that doesn't know what those are, like, sex... like a brothel of sort in a way. But like everything, how can I describe it? It's just kind of there. There's not a big hullabaloo like a, oh, we're going to go to Vegas and what happens there stays there. And it's a naughty, wicked secret. It's just sort of like an everyday life thing. It's there and some people partake and some don't. So like, did you find similar experiences or have you while being there?
Yeah, you definitely see that. At first, it used to freak me out. Like, I felt like a prude, even coming from my industry. Like, oh, my God, there's an adult on every corner. Like, are these people serious? Like, there's kids around. These kids are going to see, like, naked people. They're like, it's okay. Like, I think that they really, it's probably better that the kids are exposed to healthy habits of sex or even not so healthy, so they know which decisions to make here.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so, earlier today, for those of you listening, we were chatting a little bit, and in between chatting, I did check out like a couple different sites basically YouTube channels where there are girls or a few guys who were talking about their experience of being Black or being of color. And, you know, Europe, there's one girl who's a Black girl who's in Korea and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you been able to collaborate with any of them at all? I noticed there was like a Zara, I can't remember her last name. mentioned on your site. But
yeah, Zara. Yeah, there's definitely Zara Chiron. I think it's C-H-I-R-O-N. She's in Madrid, I think she is, or Barcelona. I've met Nicola's the New Black. She just is mostly travel blogging, things like that. And then there's, yeah, the girl in Korea, I forgot her name. And then there's another one.
Tara, I think her name was Tara, I think.
Yeah. And there's another one that she's, Onika is a traveler, but I've never met her, but I tried.
Oh. Huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, you have a lot of people that talk about their experiences because you never really, I mean, in America, you know, we're told that we're much more into the whole racist thing, but you just never experience it this way. It's just a weird experience to be a part of what is like essentially a micro minority in Germany. They don't have, well, they don't claim to have the history that a place like UK or US or even Netherlands would have, or France, with having a large group of Black people living in their country.
Right. And has it been largely welcoming or largely just sort of like just different in general?
It's, you know, sometimes you're just kind of, it's like this, I'm not sure if I'm a welcomed guest or unwelcomed. You know, I think it helps that you're from a Western country. I can't imagine what it would be like if I wasn't. And I kind of feel bad for those people. I mean, talking to refugees and cooking for them, it's, you hear some pretty horror stories, but, you know, and I've had some myself personally. So sometimes I do, it's kind of weird because sometimes people are just not at all used to dealing with Black people on like on a let's say a peer scale. So, you know, most of, especially in Berlin, like maybe a place like Hamburg or Cologne, the more Western parts that weren't closed off from the wall, but Berlin has such an interesting history and there used to be a base here, but there's no longer a base. So you don't really have Black Americans. You have mostly African immigrants or children or grandchildren of African immigrants. And just the community here is just very, it's just not strong. So you have a lot of people who are just surprised that you are not married with kids or can I touch your hair stuff or where in Africa are you from? And, you know, questions that you'd be like, are you seriously asking me this? Or just the fact that you have a person, I guess a different type of personality, or we don't all go to church. We're not all just this huge block of people that we are actually different. Or, I mean, I get accused of having an attitude problem all the time because it's like they're not even used to you not wanting to be in completely immersed in their culture, which they are just like, why? I don't understand. you're not really the person that we're supposed to be dealing with. Like, you're supposed to always be wanting to be in it.
Well, I think some people, yeah, and different places that I visited, their limited exposure means that they're used to either like some sort of ambassador type or like a celebrity type or somebody that comes and they're always smiling like the, you know, the pageantry wave and smile. And it's like a novelty of like this like strange being is here and we have come to welcome them, but they're leaving in like 3 days kind of thing. And like a sort of a daily habit of like going to the store and seeing the same, you know, foreigner all the time and them having to get used to you of like, do I like this person or do I not? Because they're not just passing through. Then it's sort of like a relationship that evolves over time with just like the person that you get your bread from for like lunch or something. So
yeah,
I can definitely see.
And there's always the assumption that you're here taking from their system. So, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, my phone just beeped. There's always just this assumption that you're taking something, like you must be on welfare, I've been accused of that, or you must be, you know, trying to make kids so you can try to stay here, or trying to get married so you can try to stay here. And I'm like, I don't know what people you've met, but to be honest, most of the African national people have actually been quite educated and capable people, so I don't understand which type of people they're meeting. But even things like from my ex-boyfriend saying that every black girl he had met in Berlin was a prostitute, and I realized that that was just completely false. So it just makes me wonder.
Something that's like, I think that's pervasive. I think, unfortunately, that exists not only in Europe or, you know, South America, but in the U.S. as well, of like, you know, some men or some people have like a tendency to discount just a beautiful woman of color or whatever, of like, well, she's beautiful, she's not talking to me, or she looks my way, therefore, and then they get to fill in their own blanks in their head, yet they don't know if she was a student, they don't know if she was a professional, they don't know if she was a tourist, they don't know if she was a professional, like a, you know, she had a white-collar job that, like, I don't know, it's weird, I guess the image you have to counteract when you don't know what they're thinking, but at the same time, can you ask me, you think I'm a whore? Every person that looks
exactly
at you, of like a, what? It's just an uncomfortable feeling at times with people that make snap judgments, I guess.
Exactly. And it's almost, it started to really affect me personally, because it was just like, okay, I can't dress up too much, especially in a place like Berlin, which is extreme casual hipster style. And then you are coming from LA where it's heels and bags and clothes and everything. And then you come here and you're dressing like that. So I had to drastically change my presentation. And people are just surprised that you have a job, and sometimes it's better than their job, and that you're more educated than them. And they're just like, I don't know what to put you in, because that's not a category of black that I've met yet, you know. So that type of thing happens. Or even at my job, like this, we've been pulling these terrible night shifts, and there'll be somebody who'll close the door right in my face who doesn't think that I work in this building, and I have to take out my key, and I'm like, wow, you serious? Wow. I've been to company parties, and people are like, do you work here? I'm like, it's not a big company. I'm the only black girl here, so come on. Do better.
Yeah. No, it's that can be... That can be daunting. I can relate, definitely. Going backwards just a little bit, you mentioned, conversing with refugees and things like this. Where do the majority of refugees that you encounter and sort of interact with, where does the majority of them come from? Like, anywhere in particular in Africa? Or are they from not just Africa, but, like, elsewhere, Haiti, I don't know.
Now you have this influx of Syrian. That was pretty interesting. But you do have a majority African that are coming from South Sudan or, also Eritrean, I've seen. I'm sorry?
How about Chad?
You know what? I haven't met anybody from Chad.
Really?
I should ask. I don't even ask anymore, because I'm just like, oh, whatever. We're just kind of giving you guys food and trying to, you know, everybody's being comrades, and the way that they're being treated is just so bad that I just don't care most of the time. They're mostly curious about me. They're like, what are you doing, and how did you get into this? And, you know, it's just kind of a sad situation, because they're not allowed to really live or work or do anything for money. So it's that's mostly what I focus on. But I should ask some more. There got to be somebody from Chad there.
Huh. All right. Well, then, okay, so then they're allowed to be there temporarily. They're granted some sort of temporary asylum, but they're not allowed to actually make wages.
Yeah, they're not really actually wanted. So they have these rules, like the first place that you land is the place that you have to stay. So that's why you have like huge refugee populations in places like Italy or Spain, and people are just stuck because they're not able to ever get a license to work. and they're definitely not able to get any sort of education or anything, so or pursue anything. So it just makes it very difficult for them to become a part of society, and they are looked upon as leeches or whatever. People have to support them, but I think the people don't really understand how hard it is for them to even do the basics for themselves. Of course, every man on this planet would want to support themselves if given the chance, but you have a lot of places, not just Germany, that make it like that. So it's kind of a sad situation. Not kind of, it is.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Well, all right. I don't know how to make this happier at this very moment, but I'll try. Okay. So tell me more. Okay. Let's move on to, let's see. Well, tell me more about, okay, because I've been to Berlin 2 or 3 times in my life, and Germany was actually the first country I ever visited when I was a senior in high school. And I remember one store that I liked, and that is not only in Germany, but a bunch of other, like, European countries, and even, I think, in Argentina, was mango. And I saw that you mentioned mango in one of your posts, and that made me smile to think about that that was still, like, a bit too posh for Berlin, and that they have, like, a grunge culture. I just remember the first time, or at least a part, you know, a subculture of grunge or something, who knows. But I know that, like, when I went there for the first time, I did notice that very much. I saw a lot of blue hair, mohawks, spikes, leather, green hair. And I don't know, to me it was cool. I was 16, so I was like, wow, that's, wow, pretty cool. But, like, yeah, tell me more about, like, getting used to the fashion and the, like, oh, I got to go from what I think is just to walk out of the door, how I have to look in L.A., or California, or just U.S. in general, and like, okay, I got to tone down or blend in, or what, like, that process for you?
Well, for me, well, first of all, I lost pretty much everything when I moved here. Everything I shipped, I lost, so I had to start over. So I didn't have much left over except the stuff that I packed.
How'd you lose
it? Oh, man, this company, they said that they could ship properly to Germany, but a lot of companies don't know you have to list everything that's inside that big box, and you have to have a contact number, which I gave them. I said, you guys can track me down for paying the shipping, but you can't track me down when customs needs to talk to me. So for Germany, pretty much anything that's coming inside this country, they want to make sure it's either yours, you pay taxes on it, or it's previously purchased. So you have to go down to, goodness, I'm forgetting this name right now, but you have to go down to this office, and like, if you even order stuff on Amazon, some people, you know, who ship things, I've had things shipped here and it still doesn't make it because people don't really know how to ship it. And I tell them just use DHL because that's German company. So just use them. But it was easy for me to kind of transition because I had only been left with like 5 pairs of shoes and, you know, a couple of things for the winter months. But I wear a lot of flats now. That's definitely something different. I'm 5'1", so wearing flats for me was just never a thing that I wanted to do. So wearing boots, a lot of flats and tennis shoes and different things, and then also having to deal with just buying, I do still shop at Mango. I still appreciate the stuff that they have.
I like Mango. I like Mango.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like my little BBs, you know. It's like my the closest I'm going to get to BBs, because really you have Mango and then it's going to jump into designer. That's pretty much the mix. Or you have the secondhand stores that now I find myself in from time to time.
Those are awesome. Those are actually very, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been nice, but then I think my mainstay here, just based on salary and me wanting to save money, is H&M. So I'm just now like t-shirt and jeans girl, and maybe from time to time I'll dress up. But when I do, it's too much. So I'm like, okay, I still don't know what's the in-between for dressing up, because sometimes I'll go and then be way underdressed. Like I remember they had a big Venus after party, and people were just like really, you know, heels, full makeup, everything. And then sometimes I'll go to like, they have these jazz nights and I'll be wearing a nice shirt. And then you have people like, oh, are you singing tonight? Are you singing? Like, that's another thing. If I go to anywhere that there's live performances, they always assume.
Like, the show, you're the entertainment.
Exactly. And I'm just like, no, I'm just here. Well, how do you know everybody that's here? I'm like, well, they're all Americans, so we just kind of try to stick together. But no, I'm not singing. Well, what do you do? And I'm like, I have a really boring job. You would not think that. So when I tell them, they're so disappointed. Data analyst? Oh. Like, I'm sorry. Oh. Sorry to burst bubble.
And okay, and were you able to go to, or have you been able to go to, since you're still in Europe, have you been able to go to a lot of concerts? Because I know one of the things from your side, I was doing my research, but with the whole Lauryn Hill, like that you got tickets to see Lauryn Hill, but are you able to, like, is it like a regular thing to be able to check out music or? Like,
oh, yeah, that's what I do love about Berlin, that everything is like a fraction that you would cost. Like, for example, I bought tickets to Sade when she was back in L.A. I think it was 2010 or 11, and I bought those tickets, and I sold them and then bought the plane ticket to Berlin and saw the show. So I was like, wow, this is ridiculous how much we pay for tickets for concerts. But I was able to see people who have big names like Lauryn Hill. I mean, her tickets are always going to be pricey because that's her, but people like my favorite, Robert Glasper, who comes out here for like 28 euros, or you have a lot of different hip-hop things and rappers and different jazz stuff, and you won't find a show that's going to be more than 28 euros. That's awesome for me. So
wow.
I try to go to something every week, and I mean, if there is something, and now it's ramping up because it's getting a little warmer, so that's nice.
Yeah. And
so there should be people coming.
And how warm does it actually get in the summer? Because yeah, when I went, it was like January the first time I went. I don't remember what time it. Well, one time was summer, but I don't remember if that was very warm or not. But does it get, in Berlin, does it get warm?
Well,
I imagine Munich must get a lot warmer, but
yeah.
Berlin.
It's probably going to cap out at 80, like a few days it'll be like 88 maybe. And that'll be like 2 days out of the year, but it's going to stay in the mid 70s for a couple of months. And then, you know, you start to get a thicker skin. I'm sure you've experienced that. Like, it was 61 on the weekend, and I'm walking out in a light jacket, and I remember if this was California, I'd be freezing my ass off. So, you know, so now it's just all relative. Like, wow, it's 60s and 60s. Ooh, let's, you know, leave the heavy jacket at home. But you have yeah, it's not really going to be so warm in the summertime. It really depends. Like, I've been here one summer, it was just hot. I couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And then you have, especially the air conditioning stuff.
Yeah,
that's one.
Yeah, tell me about that, because, yeah, I know in France, like a lot of the time I would be there towards the, there was one summer I spent a lot, you know, the majority of the time was very warm, extremely. But a lot of the times I was just leaving or just getting there right after like the hottest times, and they don't always use or even have the proper air conditioning facilities. And so, yeah, like, is Germany similar with that? Of like, they don't quite get it unless it's like a big old hotel, of like how to like not have people dying of heat stroke.
Unless it's new, I've only seen one apartment that had air conditioning, and that guy had a very good job. But you have, like, the city is definitely two different cities just based on the history of the wall. So you have the older west side that, no, you're not going to find air conditioning. But I'm looking at my office now, and I don't think they have air conditioning in here either. So, you know, and I work in the east, which is mostly newer, sort of newer than the west based for the construction, but no, my ex is just like fan that's all we have. He's like, you people are going to get sick. They have this thing like, you cannot walk from hot into cold because that'll get you sick. And I'm like, okay, whatever you say. I just think that that's what the building people tell you so that they don't have to redo their buildings. That's what
they're... Well, yes. I do think they might have a slight point to that, but it took forever to realize how or why. But I know, like, I would always get either upon leaving or upon coming to Europe, I would get a little bit sick, and it wasn't just from the canned air in the airplane. It was from, like, I don't know, like a too much hot and cold, or I just felt like my body felt confused of how to regulate itself because of drastic changes in temperature. Like, I got used to never wanting ice and drinks ever. Like, if it wasn't already chilled in a fridge somewhere just from general chilling, then I don't want ice. Like, and I still keep that habit, like, even in, you know, in the U.S. where you wouldn't be looked at strange for wanting ice. Everyone wants ice, and I'm the one that's like, no, no ice. Like, I don't know. There's I don't know. They're just more rugged, maybe. They're like, just deal with it. It gets hot. Just deal with it.
I know. I think that's just what it is. They're just like, okay, you guys just don't know how to understand that weather gets warm and things like that. But even the issue with ice, like putting, I have friends who just have the Coke laying on their desk for days at a time. And you're just like, what is this, a punishment to drink Coca-Cola? I don't understand. It's supposed to at least be cold. You know, I don't understand that. And yeah, the ice thing, I just gave up. I ask for ice and it's like, okay, we'll give her 3 cubes. It's like, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to leave this alone.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is kind of funny for a tangent, but yes, it's true. Cause like most places, if they're nicer, then they'll at least try to keep everything chilled. Like where, okay, I want a Orangina or I want a Sprite or this. It'll at least be chilled, you know, not never icy, but just not lukewarm, not toasty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know how they do it. Like, it's just the only thing I'll drink lukewarm is water, and then they look at me crazy, like, tap water?
Yeah.
Just tap water?
Yeah. Okay, see, I'm with them on that one right there, because I don't get it. Yeah.
Well, I don't like this fizzy water that they have everywhere because they invented this stuff. So they have it everywhere.
Oh.
And they look at me when I'm like, Stilis Fossa, bitte, please, please. And they're like, ew, you must be American, you know. Like, I'm like, sorry.
But you tricked us. We thought you were one of us, maybe. And you tricked us. Yes, you will be. You
exactly.
Will be. You're going to get used to it because I think you have many more moons to spend in Europe. I think you're going to get used to it. You're going to like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. What else was it? There were a few others. Okay. One cool, interesting thing to me was that one of your ex-boyfriends, his name was Stefan. And that was the name of one of my ex-boyfriends. It's not the same one, but yes. The same thing with, like, that name is, like, to me, the epitome of Germany. Like, Stefan. I don't know.
Yes, and there's, like, 10 of them when you say that name.
Yes.
And they all look similar. But, like, his best friend is also named Stefan. I think it's, like, these groups of years that they just had a favorite name, and everybody's named that. Like, right now, it's Maximilian. And that's fine, I guess, but so all you have all these 10 and 12-year-old kids named Max, and you're like, okay, well, you don't need to name every kid Max.
I wonder.
Yeah, I just think it's, well, I mean, I won't say they're not creative. I just think that when they like something, they like
friends.
It.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, and what else? Oh, yeah, well, I guess while we're talking about German men, feel free to share the life in general with European men if there is a difference to you.
Well, I had to deal with a lot of, like, The older ones, I just wrote something about this, the different categories that I can come up with about trying to date these last 4 months almost.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that post about, like, I don't really speak German, but, like, ich liebe Schwarze something. I love black women.
I love black girls, yeah. So, I mean, that's what they think. It's, like, the thing that you're supposed to say. You're like, no, it's, you know, thank you, but okay. Like, do you want a cookie? Like, sometimes I'm just like, okay, so what if I say, I love German guys, you know. I don't think they understand how that could kind of feel sometimes, but you have a lot of older, especially if they're out drunk or something, and I live in the far, far west where you're going to have more Germans and less expats, so it's, you know, it's more Germanized. Like in the East, it's going to be expats and lots of Turkish Arab mix.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, like I do also a lot of online dating because I'm just used to that from the States. But here it's like, okay, you have the average 50 plus German who's like, I really like you and I want to take you out and I'm also interested in marriage down the line, and they're telling you like everything right then and there, and it's like, okay, I don't need a visa, sweetheart, but thank you for the offer and I really would like to just go. And some of them, they'll get like, well, I like you, so you should like me because I am interested in you. And you're like, it doesn't really work like that. It has to be mutual, and then you have some who are very unattractive. This is something that my ex told me when we still get along, but when he was explaining to me, he's like, I have some very ugly friends with terrible jobs who think, okay, when I take a black girl, she must be beautiful and gorgeous and everything. You're just like, okay. So, but look at you, though. Like, that doesn't match. So a lot of them don't seem, it's like they think that they are kind of, it's almost like we're doing you a favor kind of attitude. So I've been, but these are people who are like, I wouldn't say the most educated, well-traveled people in the world. I would call them mostly hillbillies or blue-collar workers type,
dreamers,
you know.
Dreamers.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have that group who you run into unexpectedly because I live where I live, but then you have kind of like the younger hipster type that maybe thinks they know a thing or two, or maybe has even been to Africa, they know everything. I'm sorry?
Sorry. I'm just going to interject real fast. I just think with some of the guys of the first genre you're talking about of like, how they're like, yes, you know, I love black women. You will work for me. This or not work, like your look works for me or whatever, this kind of thing. I just think they're almost trying to do like a reverse whammy on you of like, I don't know. I think Western blacks carry themselves or in a certain different way in their fashion, their appearance, their, I don't know, comportment, I guess. I don't know if that's the right translation for it, is so different that I think they know that you're different, that they know that you're capable. They know that you're of a Western ilk where I can't actually see them. I don't know, it's sort of like they know that they benefit at the same time as you, but they want to sort of make you feel like, I'll take care of you. You need a visa, you need marriage, you want to stay here, as if they don't know that you already know you can be, like, I don't know, like, they want to make you second-guess yourself in a way, but just sort of, like, pull a fast one. I think they know. They can tell the difference of, like, you got to try harder. You can just say hi, hello, you know, try harder by just talking to me, like, you know, hi. Instead of,
don't assume. I get this a lot, though. A lot of, obviously, I'm black, but it's like black equals only one thing that only could be from Africa. That's it. That's it. And I even get this from American blacks. So they'll be sitting there and talking to me. And I remember this guy, we were talking for about 10 minutes, and he was like, you're from the States. And I was like, yeah. You don't notice that we have the same accent? And he was also from L.A., and he was black, and he was like, I just didn't, you know, it's just, you know, I also have dreadlocks now. And he's like, you just don't look Like, I was like I should look? I don't know what is that supposed to, what are you getting at here? I was like, you also have dreadlocks? So what do you think of that? What kind of question?
They forget that they can't get outside of their own head in a way because they don't keep a mirror with themselves. They don't look at themselves speaking. Otherwise, they'd probably say a lot fewer ignorant things. In a way of like, I don't know, I think, I don't know, sometimes everyone, like, you know, black, white, whatever, that we carry our own, our mindset is not always our own, that we carry, like, the attitude of where we're from, like, you know, there's differences in just Southern women and Western, or, you know, West Coast women and women from the South and East Coast chicks, like, that there's just a different mindset and that we're not always the ones talking when we speak. Sometimes it's where we're from that's speaking. And it just is shocking when you expect everybody that looks like you to be just like you, and they aren't. and that's exactly. why, like I was telling for everyone tuning in earlier, mentioning places that I've been, like London, which is like a whole other world to me. It's like its own other universe where a lot of people want to go and live, and for most people it's awesome, and yet for me it's like they're different from America, like not in a bad way. It's just like you can't just be like, oh, I'm gonna go live abroad or study abroad and I'm gonna go to Australia or England or like New Zealand because they speak English, so it'll be the same. It's like, no. So some people just don't always understand the difference, I guess. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the differences with London. Like, you see it almost, well, I mean, for me, it was immediately with the driving on the other side. And then, the like we were talking about earlier, the slang and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it was just like, can you just speak plain English? No. Slang, no nothing, whatever you think might not be able to be understood. And then it gets in their mind like, oh, she's not English. So, but I've also been mistaken for English, which kind of my ex always used to be like, I swore you're from London. And I was like, it's because you don't hear English at all because you live in Germany, the land of dubbing over everything. So it's almost as bad as France. I mean, they're right up there. Like, they don't have the schools of making every English word into French like they do, but there is this debate about the German language and, you know, how English, whatever, how much English do they really want into it, and you're just like, oh, are you serious? You know, the language has to live on through the people, and yeah, we respect it, but I mean, that's how I think English has been able to survive for so long, because it can change and evolve. But if you have a language that, if you translate German directly into English, it's going to sound like old, old, old English. So maybe it does need a facelift.
Sometimes, although in certain ways, I guess I learned to be a language purist in a certain way, but only maybe only because of having lived in France, of seeing how much pride goes into the French language. So when I think of, I mean, there's one or two very particular things I don't like about their standards, but they have, like, you know, a whole academy devoted to, is this word okay, or is there a better French word for words, for terms that we just didn't have before? So anything that has to do with technological stuff, or, like, email is not, you know, is it courrier électronique, or is it email? Like, is courrier électronique, we're not going to make it, like, a Frenchy English word, it's going to be courrier électronique, it's electronic mail in French, whatever. Like, I get it, I understand that in a way, and I guess for France, they do have a lot of theaters where you'll see tons of American movies, but they only do just the subtitles where they don't dub it over, and I appreciate that they're like, okay, we respect our French language, we want to preserve it as much as possible, but we also, when we watch a foreign movie, we want to watch it and hear those foreign people speak, and then we'll just read what they're saying. Like, I appreciate that. You don't always get that, like, anywhere.
I mean, I can definitely understand that part of it, but then I also work with a bunch of French people that refuse to learn German, so sometimes I'm just like, well, how dare you guys big up this language so hard, but then you step into the neighboring country and you refuse to learn one, not one word, not one.
Why are they there?
I have no idea. And, like, I remember my coworker saying something.
They could stay at home and just work on the computer in France. Like, what?
Exactly. I'm just like, well, what is it, you know? Because they're always, like, really making these terrible jokes to the German coworkers, and the German people are like, we live here. This is, you know, I was like, it's like the only country, one of the few countries in the world that you can just basically, excuse my language, shit on all the time because of something that they did, you know? So it's like the French are holding on to that for dear life. But I'm like, at least, you know, pick up some words, you know? It's just kind of rude, you know?
Well, I would totally agree with that. That is rude. But it's so funny how they can all be so close together, geographically speaking, and yet so far away, because you're seeing that with your French and German coworkers, and I've seen that with my French and British friends and, like, fellow students while I was living in France. Of, like, they'd make their snide jokes, you know, the British about the French, and the French in the reverse. But it was usually more so the Brits talking about France than the reverse.
Oh,
but it's like, you guys are like an hour away of a flight. Like, seriously, what? Like,
yep. And yeah, I just don't get it. I was like, okay, if New Yorkers spoke another language, I would hope that I would want to pick it up. Like, of course, I've picked up some Spanish and stuff like that. I mean, Mexico's right there for us in California.
Right.
But I just don't understand how they could be so close and yet so different from each other. But I guess that's Europe.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. Okay. Let's see. I wrote a list of cool stuff. Let's see. A few different things. Let me see. Where will I go next? All right. Let's talk about hair. Hair care. While in a strange land. I saw that you said that you're able to find, like, products that you liked and stuff like that. You were able to find in stores out there, and that you also really like coconut oil and stuff like that. I love coconut oil. I love argan oil, all this stuff. But I found, like, for me, when I was in France to get my hair done, I had to go to, like, very specific areas. You can't just show up anywhere and try to get your hair done. Like, it's not going to work. And to just buy certain products, you also have to go, like, very specific places. Like, is there an area in Berlin where you're like, okay, this area, if I want to get my hair done as a black woman, where should I go? Like, is there an area, or you just have to know people? Or, like...
Well, yeah, they're not very well advertised at all. It's like they're so anti-website. I don't get it with the small businesses. Sometimes I just want to be like, I'll do it for free just so I could, like, get people to your shop. This makes no sense. But, I mean, there is kind of like a black neighborhood here, Vetting, which you could find stuff there. I mean, I'm lucky. They call them Afro shops right up the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I use a lot of household stuff now just to avoid trying to search for stuff, because the dreadlocks, I have not gotten my hair done while I've been here, period.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do it myself. And, luckily, I was able to do it myself for so long. But, I mean, there's a place, Ebony and Ivory, I think. That's definitely, they have a website. But, no, there's just not so much. So you have a lot of people there that just wear a lot of wigs and weaves if they can find a place. But I just didn't want to. They have terrible selection, and I like my hair natural. So
yeah,
it's that was just the hardest part of just having to make that decision of, okay, well, I'm going to stick with the natural, but how do I do it when they have products that full of stuff I would never put on my hair? And so I just started looking up recipes. I bought a book and just started making those recipes for conditioning my hair. And but I mean, for the other girls that don't know, we actually, this group of ladies have been doing these natural hair shows and just selling the products directly to them and trying to get more people to come out and get more education about their hair. You know, it's very tough.
And is that, is it
because a lot of women are just,
Sorry. Is it based in Berlin or do you travel throughout Germany with the hair shows and like,
well, all the shows that they do, all the shows that I go to are just in Berlin. I'm not traveling. The girl who's selling these products, she's based out of London.
Okay.
So, you know, she's coming around. And then they have another lady that goes all around Germany because you do have this group of, well, they call them Afrodeutsch, but they're basically biracial kids who, you know, are dealing with a lot of single mothers who don't know how to do their child's hair. So mostly that's what it's about. It's just like, okay, basic education. But then you have a lot of other Black women who are just like, I just, you know, need to do something with my hair, and I don't always want to throw a wig on it, and I don't always want to braid my hair to death. So,
right,
you know, how can I do that? So that's been really successful for them. I'll just promote it for them whenever they have it and go.
Nice. That's cool. Well, okay. So aside from Berlin, do you want to briefly go over any other cities in Germany that you like? And also, if there's any city that is actually better for finding, like, where you're like, I could just be walking in the main area and find at least one or two really good, like, Black hair salons.
I would probably say Hamburg would probably be interest, because that's the highest concentration of Black people in Germany is Hamburg.
Okay.
And you have different income levels. Like Berlin, it just seems everybody's like making nothing. But okay, in Hamburg, you could see like a Black guy walking down the street with a suit on. So I was like, all right, that's different. That's cool. So,
That is sad. That's sad.
It is, though, but once you start to notice it here in Berlin, you're like, oh, my God, is everybody poor? Oh, my God, this is crazy. I swear, it's just, it really
that's
is like that.
Fashion.
You don't know.
That's the fashion, like grunge. Everybody looks poor. It's like grunge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like sometimes you just don't know. You're like, okay, you talk to somebody and they're like, I'm an engineer, but you have holes in your shoes. Okay, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever, however you want to dress. But Hamburg, definitely, I think it's probably a good place. I heard Cologne, I've never been to Cologne, though. So
okay.
I've only ventured. The only place I'll go is if I need to go. So Hamburg, Frankfurt, Munich, and then I want to go down to the army base in the south. No, that'll be it for me. I don't really particularly like traveling by myself in Germany just because I still have some angst about being alone and being like, I don't like the stairs and sometimes the harassment is, it happens. So,
really?
I mean, they're just like, just be strong. But you're just like, I don't know how strong I could be.
Oh, no.
You know, like,
you have to overcome that, seriously, because I don't know. I traveled quite a bit by myself. Usually I always had at least one person with me, but I have traveled quite a bit by myself. And seriously, like, just have a strong sense of self and nobody's going to mess with you. Like, I don't know. No. I don't know, for me, I guess I always would have a sort of scenario in my head of, like, if somebody starts acting weird, I know how to act even weirder, where they'd be like, maybe I should mess with this girl. She might be fucking, like, what? Like, I don't know, just a certain sort of, you know, if you look vulnerable and you stay looking vulnerable or worried, like when you get that fear, that's when you lose it. So when you like have the sort of sense of like, it's all good. If something bothers me, I'm going to face it with I'll be crazier than that. But it's like, yeah. I don't know, that like carries you through and like people just kind of leave you alone in a way because you just sort of do your own thing as if everything you do and the exact reason why you're there is normal and natural. Then they're just like, well, I guess they're, you know, they seem to, like, they feel like they should be there and that seat's going this place or that or whatever. Like, I don't know. You got to do it.
Yeah. I have to try that because I don't know. The first year it was just like rough. It was rough. I had this crazy, well, I don't even know if he was crazy. Just some random guy that decided, oh, I'm going to spit on you today because that's what I'm going to do. And I've heard other stories from ladies about that.
Wait, somebody spit on you?
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, I was on the train, and everybody's like, where were you? And I'm like, in the middle of the city. Like, it wasn't the country. It was the middle of Berlin. And I did smell alcohol in his breath, but I didn't notice that he was drunk. I was just kind of sitting there, and, you know,
I'm going to pray and hope that, like, he really was drunk, and he really didn't mean to do that, because that is disgusting. Ugh. The only person ever spit on me that I can remember, second person, was a dude in, like, France who, like, he got very, 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 very drunk, and I had to help him find his way home, and he was, like, 19, and, of course, the drinking age was, like, 16 or 18 there, but, like, find his way home because nobody would take him home. And he was drunk and, like, all slurring his words in French and trying to tell me where I lived in French while slurring and very drunk. And he puked all over the metro and all over me. I must have been a saint because I still helped him, like, not die or something. Like,
Lord.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say that guy was probably drunk. But otherwise, you would have every right to be, like, super freaking, like, highly agitated and very mad. He's so funny. That is gross. Anyway.
Yeah. I just got off the train and then I called my boyfriend at the time and I was like, pick me up at Zara. I was just like, I'm going to buy some stuff. And I was pissed and I was just like, I don't know what to do with this people. Like, what? How do I?
Have gyms out there? Be like, where's the gym? I'm going to go take a shower. This is gross. Like,
yeah, I went and washed my face somewhere and then I'm going to buy something because that was just what that's what I do when I'm sad. But it was just like, what am I supposed to do, you know? Or sometimes it's this hostile staring, or just sometimes it's just weird things like certain people. You have a lot of small town people that come to Berlin from Germany. So you have a lot of that, like, I'll be walking down the street and somebody asks me for directions and then I'll say something, but then kind of, like, they call it Danglish, so they're like, why don't you speak German? And I'm like, you must be new here. You must be new to Berlin, because half these people ain't speaking German, let me tell you right now.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I was just like, you must not be from here, and I just walked away, like, I don't have time for that. But you have a lot of people who, you know, they just assume, you know, but they're, you know, when you find out that they're also from a small town. So it's like somebody coming up from, oh goodness, well, I'm from Riverside, you know, somewhere small, coming to LA and just assuming that they should know everything about the city when they really don't. So,
right. Yeah. Right. Well,
you deal with that.
I guess with Europe or even, I guess, bigger cities in the US, well, I guess, New York compared to LA or something like that, like, eye contact and staring is, like, highly unwelcome almost everywhere I've been in Europe, almost everywhere outside of the U.S., and especially in New York. I think wanting to smile and look at people and just your eyes might just rest on a face, like, I think that's a California thing or something, or a West Coast thing, because yeah, I learned to not just don't even, unless you need to, like, don't even look at people in the eyes ever. So,
yeah, here it's just a daily life for me. It's just daily life. And I realized that really fast because, you know, you just try to stare back and they have no shame. They will stare and stare and turn around.
Well, yeah, like it's
stare.
A challenge, like a threat in a way. Like it's either as a woman looking at a guy, they think it's a come on, or a hostile stare. Like it rarely ever is welcome. Like, I don't know.
that's what I explain to people. I'm just like, well, what the hell, you know? And I can understand, okay, well, I haven't seen somebody that looks like that. But then turning around and looking, and then you're like, okay, well, this is how am I supposed to deal with that? How would you feel if every day you had to deal with just to the point where I have to wear headphones and just get my mind off of it, you know, yeah. Or even simple things like, sorry.
No. I hear you. I have and had experienced that more so, well, quite a bit everywhere, but like more so Argentina probably. Buenos Aires is where I felt like I could feel the weight of looks at me, like where I felt heavier walking, like I felt 10 pounds of weight or something holding me down if like people staring and not even just curious of, huh, that's interesting, like a, what the, why are you here? Kind of thing. That was Buenos Aires for me. But like,
yeah,
I just, yeah, I yeah. learned to look away and stay out of the way. And like walk a lot, like, cause they're, well, Latin country in a way. And like in France and Italy, all these places, the amount of, or the, what would you call it? The lack of space, I guess, social proxemics or whatever, like you're going to be smashed around people in metros and all this kind of stuff. And you will know that mm-hmm. very much and deeply within your soul in Rome mm-hmm. and like all these different places and, you know, and Latin cultures are going to be very close to these people. And you have to still be like, and I'm not looking at you in the face, I promise. Because sometimes you're going to be like grossed out of like, you know, this person's going to try to lean up against you. This person's a guy and trying to lean up against you behind you on the metro in a very busy metro, very happy to be
with
you. You're like, ew. Or you just kind of like almost in a way, like try to find where there's very disinterested people or largely women to be like in crowded places around. And just to sort of know that like everywhere in a way is sort of some sort of pseudo Sharia law in a way of like when you're in public, sometimes you have to like pretend like you need to be Mother Teresa-esque and sort of avoid being in arm's distance of some people or some, I don't know.
Yeah.
To avoid that.
Like now I've been starting to figure out like who's crazy, who not to really probably talk to or whatever or look at or just even be in their line of sight. Just let them get their stare on and just keep walking because that's, you know, or just basic stuff like when we were eating dinner one time I was on a date and this guy, he was just like, oh my God, how do you deal with this? He was like, I feel weird being out with you. As if I feel like I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Like you're supposed to be my lady for the night. And we were just at a regular place, I had regular clothes on. And he was like, the family right next to us just stopped what they were doing to watch me put on my jacket. And it was just like, okay, I'm just, he was like, how do you just not notice that? I was like, of course I noticed that. But what am I supposed to do? Bark at them? Like, what? I don't know what to do.
Like, thanks for rubbing it in, buddy. Hello.
Exactly. I was like, I feel it. I can tell them, the mother, the father, and the child was just like, oh, what is this?
Jeez. Damn. I don't know. Well, certain of those situations, sometimes I think of, okay, what would, and then fill in the blank, what would so-and-so do? I think of your most gregarious outgoing friend ever of like, you know, they would turn everything into some kind of a positive situation of like, you either have to just ignore it and leave and try to go somewhere else where people look less or be like, hi, how's it going? Like strike up a conversation. Yet if you're with somebody else, then it's like, you don't want to be doubly embarrassed or embarrassed, like both of you in a way of like, you know, making
yeah.
a false conversation just to make them stop being rude. Oh, in a way. So if it's like full on like zombie style, then it's like you should probably just let's go to a different restaurant. Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, we were leaving by that point, but it was just like, he was like, this is ridiculous. He's like, it's not just here. It's everywhere we go. There's just people staring at us. Like, I don't know why. It could just be your girl. It could just be they think you're pretty, whatever, you know. But I have a friend, he'll just say hello. And I'll be like, hello. And the people, they get all scared because they think that they're being slick about staring. And I'm like, you're not being slick. We could completely tell. We see exactly what you're doing. Sorry.
I think you're in a invisible, like, whatever it's called, a see-through glass.
Yeah.
Thing of, like, they don't see
they it. Do sometimes.
Totally looking at them. And we totally are. They don't know. Oh, they do. It's like, yeah. I would say just imagine it could be worse. In the meanwhile, yeah. Whoa! Oh my goodness! Like, what are we now? There's 6 minutes, a little bit more than 6 minutes left. We have had. Huh. Wait, hello. I think I might have lost. There we go. Holding. That's weird. Okay. How do I connect this call with this one? Wait. Can you still hear me? Uh-oh. Oh. All right. I'm going to try. Yes. Okay, so for everyone tuning in, you're listening to Sandra London on Playtime with Sandra Radio, and we're coming almost to a close to the interview. Jeez. My interview with Kim Butler of BlackGirlInBerlin.com, and I don't know if I'm able to rejoin the calls, but we've had a very thrilling interview, to say the least, and I will be putting up more information on my website on livinggrind.com, aka tolivinggrindinla.com, and feel free to check out her website, blackgirlinberlin.com. It's a very cool website, and I don't know, it's very exciting. For me, I wish that when I was living in Paris, that I would have done something similar to what she and other travelers have done, to recount my experiences while actually there, and also video, maybe audio kind of thing with it. I would have loved to have done that. So, yes, I think she's awesome. I think world travelers are awesome in all shapes and forms and varieties. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun this evening, so I hope that we have another interview together, and I will have her back on my show if she would like to be on the show again. So seeing that there are only a few more minutes left, I will play a song on the way out, and I will be back next weekend. On Sunday. There you are. Mm-hmm.